hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am AAMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to Spotify, give us some spins. And on what's another word for move along and go do stuff. Mosey on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where you can see gameplay videos that we put up for your viewing pleasure. Geez, go to Blue Sky, Control Issues Pod. I believe that's the handle. AMC would know more than I. And lastly, send us a line over at controlissuespod@gmail.com. AMC, how you living?
Well, A-Dub, can't say there's much going on right now. It's slow into June, getting ready for, I guess summer. Summer has truly hit, which will be July. Kids are out of school, starting to plan like what they're gonna do for the summer. Like Theo's gonna be in, he's gonna be in like not karate, but it's a Korean form that's not Taekwondo of martial arts, and then. Naomi,
would it happen to be crazy?
Yeah, and then Naomi, she's gonna do ballet, so that's gonna be fun. She's a little 3-year-old, so it's gonna be cute to like see her do that thing for a couple of weeks. As far as my life, just getting in my workouts, same old, we back to back weeks, so not much has happened from last week to this week. Not basketball going on, working out, watching anime, keeping up with Jujutsu Kaisen, pushing through this first season. And keeping up on wrestling, more AEW these days than WWE. WWE's kind of on some bullshit right now. I'm waiting for this John Cena storyline to kind of pass. It's his final run, so the fans who have been watching John Cena for years are excited about this John Cena bad guy character.
and then that don't even sound right.
Yeah, and then there's like a segment that's just like, this is not good, but it's just the novelty of it is kind of carrying the act. And I didn't watch John Cena during his heyday, so I don't really have the contrast of him being this super face, like good guy character to now playing this I'm gonna ruin wrestling bad guy that he's doing for his like current gimmick until he basically ends it. I'm sure he's gonna have a turn at some point, become good guy, and then just end his career, retire. But I'm not enjoying this bad guy period of John Cena, and so I've been kind of just following along from the sidelines. But it's pushed me over more towards AEW, which is the rival brand, and that has been killing it. They have their big three: Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay, and Hangman Page, Adam Page, and Hangman's going for the belt. He's gonna try to win it all against John Moxley at All In. And yeah, they just, their big three, I think, is just more engaging to me. WWE's big three is Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins, and they've all been doing their thing, but there is a little bit of I've seen this before with all of them, and so you kind of rinse and repeat some of the stuff that's going on. Whereas AEW, I didn't really watch it as it really got its start a couple of years ago, and so coming into it about like 2-3 years ago, it all still feels a little fresh to me. And so I've been really enjoying that bit, reading more books, just finished my last Warhammer book, Legion. It was great. It was about the Alpha Legion, which is the, what I learned is they're basically the spy legion. They infiltrate, and they'll use humans. It's not just Astartes that are like that make up their legion. Like they'll use anybody to kind of carry out their deeds, psykers and whatnot. And it's pretty cool because from what I've read so far, the Horus Heresy, a lot of the other legions that I've read on are kind of like, hey, we were kind of just being idealistic, and then we got corrupted by chaos, and things went bad. Whereas these guys, they are completely knowledgeable of, because their whole thing is they feel that secrets are power. So basically, knowledge is power. So keeping knowledge away is power, and then finding out knowledge is power. And so they seem to be the most fully self-aware and aware of the situation as they kind of walk into it. And because of that, it makes them a little more capable than the other groups that I've read about. And so this was kind of the first one where by the end of the book, I wasn't like, ah, damn. I was like, ah, hell yeah. Like, these guys are kind of the shit. Like, they sneak in and they're spies. I read like a spy drama. So it was great. So I'm hoping to read more about them as I push forward, but Warhammer is still kicking ass. Now I'm reading this book called Save the Cat, which is just about like movie writing, and getting a different perspective on like how to view different genres of movies, and from this writer's point of view. He also did I not he but They have a whole series. So they like Save the Cat, which is about like movies, and then they also did Save the Cat Writes a Novel. So I want to read that next. Since I've been reading more books, I want to like kind of get more an idea of like kind of the work that goes into the concepts of a book. So then by knowing that, it makes it a little bit easier to analyze like what I'm reading, as opposed to what I hate is reading stuff and not fully grasping what I'm reading. And so the more and more I can understand the different tools that writers use to come up with like how they put together a story, then it makes it a little bit easier to like follow along for me. And so I've been kind of getting into with this with movies, and then I want to read the book one. So reading that, enjoying that, just living life. How about you, Adib? How you been?
That's a very interesting approach. I have to consider that. Me, myself, same old same. It's hot as balls out there. I'm just trying to stay cool, trying to stay in the shade, staying on top of working out. Not really. Didn't do much last week, but stayed consistent, made it to the boxing
Hell yeah.
gym, got some rounds in. Apple Watch only recorded half the workout. So that's one of the things.
Didn't
It didn't happen. Those calories are not
count.
burned because they were not tracked. Like
Did you still get the achievement though? The your
I got
movement.
my
Okay, that's the most important thing.
I closed my rings. That's it was still counting the calories. It just didn't count it as part of a longer workout. So that's the kind of stuff that annoys me, because you put on that boxing glove and you don't know what's happening with that watch. You don't know if it's a phone call. You don't know if it's a text message. You don't know if it thinks you fell and it's summoning an ambulance or something. And whatever, you just push through it, because that's what the workout's about. That's why you get the
The
gains.
watch is just registering repeated car crashes.
Dude, I don't know if it's a matter of me moving around the gym when I'm moving around the bags and everything, but I'll get thousands upon thousands of steps. Like, maybe it's the repetitive motion of punching and moving the arms around, dipping. But like, it my watch will think, like, I walk 4 miles total round trip to get to the gym and back, and that's like mo that's the only walking I do in the day. But then it'll tell me like, oh yeah, you walked 8 miles, you walked 9 miles today. I was like, whoa, you got like 50,000 steps. I was like, damn, okay. But yeah, so staying in the gym, staying working out, finished Severance, and I'm very intrigued with where we are with this story now, because I'm not gonna spoil anything, but let's just say the life and affairs of the innies and the outies are getting all mixed up. So you're gonna want to check that out. If you're watching Severance, I recommend people go ahead and finish that. Anime wise, I tried to start watching Gungrave. It's a little old. It's on Hulu, and it's pretty cool, but it's hitting me with tropes and things that I'm not particularly a fan of in anime. I'm gonna give it another shot, because I don't know if that video game came out yet or if it's still in the works, but there's a recent Gungrave game. So I was like, okay, let me try to catch up on my Gungrave. A little ready for that. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I'll try, but I don't think it's gonna keep its hooks in me. A bigger thing that happened over this past week, I had jury duty. a couple of days ago. Ended up getting selected, had to go to downtown. So, parking this structure, where parking level one is like dozens of feet below ground. So, parking the structure, walking out, go to my building, whatever, showed up late, somehow still on time, get sent up for a panel. The judge is like, you know what? There's no way we're gonna be ready. Just get everybody out of here. So, you know, they did all that for the first one, sent us back, got to have lunch at Dykokia over on First, just south of south, just east of Los Angeles. And yeah, man, it's been a while. It not quite hitting the same as I remember, but it was nice and comforting to be able to sit at that bar for the first time in several years, get myself, you know, a half serving, get a little miso ramen, get a little chicken egg bowl. It was nice. Had a beer. It's not very often that I have a beer in the middle of the day on a like where I'm doing things, running around downtown, sweating, seeing all the fuck ice and fuck Donald Trump graffiti all over downtown, like the crosswalks, the mailboxes, the poles, the cardboard over the broken out windows, that kind of stuff. So yeah, and then they sent us back, didn't get called for the last two panels, was all done. Go back to this parking structure, and the door I came out of can no longer be gone into. So I'm just kind of at a loss trying to figure out how the hell I'm gonna get to my car. End up walking down the dozens of feet into the earth down this spiral entry ramp, get to my car. The guy's taking forever with the ticket, but eventually got out there, got home, got back to chilling. And yeah, man, just been chilling ever since. Sorry to drag out the jury duty story. I don't know. It felt more epic to me in my head. But yeah, man, that's about it for me.
Like I say, you go on a journey, you end up learning a little bit more about yourself than you do about the
Yeah,
actual
you
events
know, I
that
was
happened. Yeah.
reading my How to Think When You Write book, learning about like the tropes and the mechanisms involved in writing. So, you know, to get more ideas onto the page. He ended
Yeah,
up
exactly.
trying to better himself, a little self-improvement.
Yes. As well, as you're improving yourself, I know you've been improving that gameplay stuff. So how you been, A-Dub? How you been?
Been tremendous, AMC, specifically because over a couple of days this past week, I managed to complete three games. First game I beat was Moonlighter. This one had been in my backlog for a while. I believe the problem I encountered was that I got to a boss battle and I didn't immediately figure it out and defeat the boss. So I was like, whatever, I'll come back to this game later. Several years go by. I'm finally back to the game. Couple of attempts on the boss, took it out, cleared that dungeon, did a little run through of the previous dungeons just to like farm material, see if I missed anything, get some extra equipment. Went into the final dungeon, which turned out to only be two boss battles. So went in, handled that business, took me about three tries, and then rolling the credits and finally knocked Moonlighter off of my backlog. It's a tremendous little game where it's like top down, kind of like a link to the past. And the hook is that you go into the dungeons at night and you're finding all the like characters are dropping equipment, you're finding treasures, you're taking on bosses, getting the boss chest. The deeper you go in the dungeon, the more valuable the items that you're receiving. And you bring all that back with your limited inventory space. So you're making cuts, you're making maneuvers, you're dealing with items that are cursed to where they'll have an effect on them and perhaps a direction that they're pointing. So if you put it in your bag, whatever it's pointing to is going to be the target of the effect. And these can range from, you know, whatever this affects becomes this item. So the cursed item turns something else into itself. Very useful if you have some rare stuff and then you put it next to like a full stack of trash and you turn that into something extremely valuable. And then you can put that in the store by day where you make the money. So you take the stuff you get from the dungeons, you put it on the shelves and in the display cases in your store during the day. You let the customers in, you know, they're moseying about. thinking about, basically trying to haggle, like talking about if they're satisfied or if they're unsatisfied with the prices. Sometimes little thugs come in and try to steal shit, and you got to shut them down. A bird might come in and interrupt business until you catch it kicking out of the store. You can like adjust prices and things like that until you find your sweet spots. And yeah, man, you just keep doing that cycle, building up your nest egg. You start investing in the town, you start investing in other stores. It increases their inventory, it expands the functionality of the services they provide, and it all just helps you get better gear and equipment for when you go back into the ever increasing challenge of the dungeons. So, the game was extremely awesome. I'm very excited for what looks like the full 3D sequel that we're going to be getting pretty soon. So I'm fully prepared for Moonlighter 2. Second game I beat is a game that I completed before in the past, but I did it on Xbox 360. And this game is the classic, the epic, the revered Mass Effect, the original in the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I mean, do I really need to extol the greatness of Mass Effect? I don't think so. So I'll just talk about how much the experience is improved by the Legendary Edition, where the visuals are absolutely crisp. The skyboxes on the planets look realistic. The lighting is just clean and bright and striking. It's an incredible glow up for what was at the time just one of the greatest games ever made. Still is. And surprisingly short. I was able to explore most of the galaxy. I was able to, handle most of the side things, and then just went ahead and put your man Saren down. I had to put your man Sovereign down as well, because Shepard, baby, that's what we do. We specters
How
all day.
how's that updated Mako?
Updated Mako, while it's not a night and day difference, it's not like it's a whole different thing. It is a lot easier to it's a lot easier to make it through the planetary expeditions, where you're driving around on the surfaces of the planets that you land on. But at the same token, it still comes with all the same frustrations and issues that you had before. Like they may have smoothed some of the edges, but they didn't remove all the rough edges. You're still gonna find yourself trying to climb up an 80-degree wall that's been sideways as best you can. You're still gonna flip that thing, and luckily you have an easy way to flip it over if you just hold the throttle. You got your up boost, you got your forward boost. I don't know if aiming was easier. Like, I didn't really notice much of a difference, other than I was able to get through these planets a bit quicker. So, if that's a bonus, I'll take it, because Mass Effect still holds up, in my opinion. It's still structured in a way where the true experience comes later. Like, you got to get through those opening hours, you got to get skills, you got to get your equipment up, you got to like understand the ebb and the flow of the game before it really starts to show its true colors. So, if you're interested in the original Mass Effect trilogy, I highly recommend that Legendary Edition. I was debating taking a taste of Mass Effect 2, but I decided against it, because the last thing I need to do as I'm chipping away through my backlog is to make my backlog larger. Even though Mass Effect 2, that's a game that I'm moving toward Mass Effect 3. That's the one that I never played, and then I'll be all clear to go ahead and try to push for completion of Andromeda. But Mass Effect 1, first step down. Looking forward to Mass Effect 2. And then the third game I completed was actually the one that started it was the one that started this series of completions, and that is Atomic Heart. So, I haven't talked about this game yet, because in the span of the last time we recorded, I was able to buy the game, get neck deep in the game, and complete it, before reporting on it. So this is made by Munfish, and it's Again, it looks like it's equal parts BioShock and Far Cry with a thick Russian coat of paint. And honestly, dude, it's exactly the game I was looking for ever since I played Dead Island 2. Like, I think I found my spectrum of first-person games, like especially ones that are melee heavy. So Atomic Heart came and kind of filled a similar void, but with a very heavy tone of science fiction. And plus, like I said, it has that BioShock element. So you got your guns in one hand and you got your telekinetic powers in the other hand, and all this stuff can be upgraded. The weapons can be modified. They can have canisters attached to fire different ammo types. You can find experimental parts that you can add to them to change up their ability to attack. Like, for instance, I had I got a little semi-auto little pistol, but I can put a revolver frame on it, and suddenly it's firing three bullets at a time. And then if I aim with it, I think it fires off like six bullets, and it just shreds everything. It's like it's firing them at once. It's not like, rat-a-tat-tat. It's like pow, pow. It's a pretty interesting weapon. But yeah, and then you can electrocute enemies. You can use your mass telekinesis to lift them in the air. And then with the other hand, you can shoot them, or you can use like a melee weapon that has a ranged ability and hit them while you're holding them up, slam them on the ground. It was just the right amount of challenge. I played it on the highest difficulty setting, and while it did put a stop to me a number of times, especially in the early hours of the game when you don't have much weaponry, when you don't have any powers or any upgrades, it was particularly brutal to the point that I thought that I should probably turn it to normal. But if you tough it out and just get to the point where it's like, okay, now I got this and this, now I got this with more hit points, then suddenly the enemies that you dreaded seeing in the beginning of the game turn into just cannon fodder that you're slashing your way through, like in the path of getting to a larger opponent. So yeah, Atomic Heart is awesome. I finally pulled the trigger on it because I saw what they're going to be doing with Atomic Heart 2 and the Cube, and I figured it was the right time to get into it, and it was. Absolutely stunning visuals, rock solid performance. It's incredibly unique. It's a very competent game, gives you a lot of content, a lot of room to explore, a lot of room to run around and mess around with the game's mechanics, but also somehow still focused and largely linear. So I had an absolute blast with it. I highly recommend it. Looking forward to the sequel. And yeah, man, right now, got some Overwatch 2 in, of course, played with you and he's single, and then me and he's single played a bit some more over the past couple of days. I'm glad we got to a point now where it's always at the beginning of the season when everybody's really in the same pool and you never know what you're going to get from match to match, where it's like, oh, there's a four stack of Grandmasters, and here's a five stack of a level one Smurfs, and you never know what's going on. But I feel like we finally reached a point where the matchmaking pools have kind of shaken out. So we're starting to get more consistent good games where we're getting a fair challenge. We're still seeing some new techniques. We're seeing all kinds of aggression and skill levels, but it's more evenly matched, and we're starting to get back on a winning trend. I bought the mythic weapon for Reaper, so now I've been working him. My Winston somehow has become solid. And is there another character? I know I've been playing Winston. I know, yeah, just Winston and Reaper. So next time you play with us, just realize you will be seeing a lot more of those characters, especially since my Reaper got that Shigaraki skin. Gotta do
Yeah.
it. Yeah, my hero. I love having the my hero in the mix. I got my hero in the mix. I got Cowboy Bebop in the mix. Like, Overwatch is killing. About to get G.I. Joe in the mix. Oh man, I cannot wait. But yeah, and then just what I'm playing and working on now, I felt like it was about time to finally go back to Death Stranding. So Yeah, man. Started this over again. Director's cut, PS5 Pro. And I gotta say, like, I'm getting all the same feelings I got from it the first time I played it, except I'm in a place where I kind of somehow I understand games even more and things that were that I had questions about or things that I didn't fully understand the first time I played the game like 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. Everything's clicking now, and I'm just running without much resistance. And just I'm running around getting these packages. I got a little electric tricycle that I'm riding around. I'm putting cargo on it. It's great. Like hiding in the rain. Like the visuals are outstanding. Like I'm fully resonating with the very lonely and desolate feeling that it gives you while still also giving you the like gloomy, rainy, like dewy kind of environments that you don't see too often in post-apocalyptic games, these days. It's usually deserts and wastelands and things like that. I like bodies of water and like rocks and moss and like mist and rain, that kind of stuff. So that's what Death Stranding is giving me. I've officially gotten further than where I left off when I played it originally. So I'm venturing into uncharted waters. I'm starting to see some new story elements. It's playing a game. It's been a while since I really played a Kojima game with it, like in earnest. So just getting back in that ecosystem with all the menus, all the information, and how seamlessly everything is integrated. Like I say seamlessly, even though they're I feel like his games could use one less confirmation screen whenever you're going through menus because it's always like, okay, this is the thing I want to do. This is where I want it to go. Holding this button to confirm it, selecting this option to confirm that I confirmed it. It's like you don't need that last bit. If you just let me hold the thing, let's go to the next one. Like I feel it would make his games much smoother. So I don't know, maybe Death Stranding 2, they figure it out, but I'm working on getting ready to get deeper into that universe. I'm having a blast with it. The visuals are outstanding. The gameplay elements, the originality. I'm following along with the story. I haven't reached the point where I've decided he's a hack and I throw up my hands and walk away. So I'm sticking with it and I'm having a blast, man. It feels good. But AMC, what have you been playing?
Two games at the moment, pretty much Overwatch 2. Yeah, we played together, had some fun that night. It was great seeing you guys handling business, E-Single, running with Ramattra. We had a good what superhero team up combo happened during the match. We realized I was running with Lucio. He had the Ramattra. He we had the other team on their heels. As we're doing the attack, and then he gets the ultimate, breaks it out with the Ramattra, so he's got that field around him, just a destructive field. Then I have the boost with Lucio, so then I get the speed boost going, and we're just pushing for like a wave of destruction and just do the team kill. And so we realize like, oh, okay, that's a thing now that we can actually pull out if we get this combination again. So that was fun. That's always great when you can have those superhero team up moments and then just realize you now have a unified attack that you can throw together to boost each other. Played a little bit more on my own after that. The other days been putting a lot of work with Lifeweaver, just seeing working on the aim, also just figuring out which I guess scenarios so Lifeweaver is most useful for, as opposed to if I can use him just universally all the time. Like I feel like with Mercy, there's certain characters that I run up against that I still always have issues with, one being like Sombra. Like once they get the oh, I'm going to target Mercy and I'm Mercy and it's a Sombra that's just constantly going into the back and there's no real help like covering me. I usually have to end up switching away from that to like a Moira or a Lucio. And so with Lifeweaver, we were trying to just figure out if that's the case. The only thing I will say with Lifeweaver, as much as I love playing with Lifeweaver, the auto heal on that first perk, for self healing, I should say auto self heal on the first perk every, was it 10 life every 1 second. And the thorns on top of the attack, the thorns explosion. Like those are really great. The only problem I have with Lifeweaver that I have with other support characters outside of Lucio is the you kind of have to choose between healing and attacking. The like with Mercy, you gotta have the staff or you switch to the gun. Moira, you can throw out Moira, I like because you can throw out the healing orb and then attack, but you can't, do the two miss. You have to choose. You do the miss or the grasp. And then, with Lifeweaver, you can do the thorns or you can send out that healing blossom. But with Lucio, you can have the healing field going on around you and while getting off your attack. And so that's always one where I enjoy. So other characters I enjoy playing, but once I notice that the team is a little undergunned that I'm playing on, I suddenly feel the need to help out offensively. But then it's like if I start helping out offensively, then I'm not doing my job as support as well. And so then you're kind of doing that trade-off. With Lucio, I can do both. So that's where Lucio kind of just works out as my main because he is a jack of all trades when it comes to just a quality support character. But once I get those other once I get like Lifeweaver really down, I feel like he'll be up there with that. But yeah, Lucio is kind of the one that I always fall back to. So I played some Lifeweaver matches, really enjoyed that. Ran into a little bit of trouble, fell back on Lucio. And then like every time I come back to Lucio after playing another character, I feel like I play better as Lucio for some reason. And so yeah, that was it was nice. Just get back in there, then playing as Lucio and just felt like my aim was a little bit more on point. Well, just loving the mobility, things like that. Like I'm
Yeah, I
trying to
saw
get out
you
of the
skating
position.
on those walls, looking like a
Oh
savant.
yeah. Oh yeah. Like the moment they give chase, like I'm immediately like just surveying the landscape and just like, all right, I can get over that, jump over to this, get behind there, slide over there. And then next thing you know, the enemy just gives up, like, fuck it. Like I'm over it. So yeah, that's one of the things I've been really getting really good at. Lifeweaver, I have gotten pretty solid at that, throwing that was it the pedal down that ends up becoming like the hover platform? Like just throwing that down, using that to escape situations. Like gotten out of a couple of hairy situations that way. So really liking Lifeweaver, but Lucio's still the dude. Other game been playing that Doom, the Dark Ages, pushing forward, got the final melee weapon. I was curious if
The
that was
final
going.
melee weapon.
Yeah, because you start out with the fists, so you throw the combos, throwing the kick. Then the second melee option is you get the, damn, I just forgot it. Oh yeah, you get the flail, and so it's like, yeah, you hit that, and what's good about that one is you knock out armor from the enemy, so it's pretty dope. The flail is pretty dope. It's a heavy attack, takes a little bit longer to recharge. But it just hits a little bit heavier and it knocks off armor a lot quicker. But then there's the final one is the Dread Mace. And it's dope. It's a straight up just big ass club like mace that you use to hit the enemies with. And it's only one attack. So the fist, you get a 4-hit combo. Then with the flail, you get a 3-hit combo. But I think if you upgrade, if you upgrade it all the way, then you can get a 4th hit in there, if I remember correctly. The Dread Mace, and the other things that happens with that is when you use all your, say, melee attacks, every time you parry, like you get a successful parry, then it replenishes one melee attack, and so you can just come right back on that ass. But with the Dread Mace, because it's so powerful, when you parry, it just shortens the cooldown for that one attack because it's just when you get it, it's like it's the most yeah, the strongest of enemies feel the brunt of that attack. And then when you upgrade it, they have a pretty cool thing that when you upgrade it enough, then if you have the Dread Mace already charged up for one shot, if you get a successful parry, then you get a second shot in for a limited time. So you can get off that double attack. So once I got that going, it's as I said, it's one of those games that you start out and you're kind of handling business, and as they ratchet up the strength of the enemies, they also start upping your arsenal. And at this point, like they're throwing the toughest enemies at me, but I have my weapons. I have my own weapons, my go-to weapons that I go with. So it's the Dread Mace. I got the super shotgun. I got the Cycler, which is the plasma rifle, but it's double barreled. So I basically got two double barrel weapons going on right now. And then I have the shield rune with the shield rune that has the ethereal blades, and that's when I successfully parry a projectile, then it just sends out spectral blades, just hunt out enemies and start stabbing them up. And it does a ton of
Yes.
damage now that I have it maxed out. And so it's just, I'm a walking just death machine when it comes to demons, and I am loving it. Can't get enough of
Just
Doom.
shooting clouds of blades.
Yeah, exactly. Just, oh, you're bad as I block something. It's great. Doom is awesome. Doom Slayer is great. I am looking forward to beating it though. I'm pretty deep in the game, and I'm starting to feel like, all right, I'm ready to put this down because, there's some games waiting for me to play. But loving it, and that's all I got to say there. A-Dub, let's take a break, and we will come back with our first topic of the week.
First topic of the week.
All right, A-Dub, would you like to lead us off with the first topic of the week?
Top topic of the week. This week's been pretty lean, AMC. Like
Yes, it has.
a lot of news about games, but not a lot of games news, if you catch my drift. So, we're scraping, but we're still coming up with some kind of substance for you at home. In today's story, coming from Wesleyan Poole over at IGN, Sony announces PlayStation Plus monthly games for July 2025. This coming month, This coming month, AMC, our three selections are as follows: SNK's King of Fighters 15, Don't Nod's Jusong, and lastly, Blizzard's Diablo 4444.
Four.
So one of a very rare month for me this time. I have two of the games I would be most interested in. Not really into fighting games. I mean, I may check out a gameplay video for King of Fighters 15 just to see if it maybe has something that resonates with whatever is within me. So I'm gonna check that out. AMC, do you see anything that has grabbed your attention for the month of July?
Just because I know you picked it up. It looked pretty interesting when it was announced. Some of the gameplay. Already own Diablo 4, and yeah, now I'm not gonna get King of Fighters, but yeah, I would say since you own two of the games and I already own one, that's got to be a pretty successful month, I would say, as far as like games that people would want to play. I definitely would. If I didn't have Diablo 4 and suddenly they're just like, here's Diablo 4, I'd be like, holy shit, like that's absolutely amazing. You just gave me a amazing game. Like it was my game of the year, what, last year, and fucking just a ton of content, and you could just makes it a little bit easier to jump in because you got that game. And if you want to get that expansion, if you like what you see in the base game, you get the expansion, get that Vessel of Hatred just in time for the new season, what, season 9, so you can get hop on that. So yeah, it's all in line with like what they have, I guess, what they have going on with the current season. So it I would say if there's a good time to hop in, it's now. So if you didn't have Diablo 4 and you're a PlayStation owner, I would say for sure, pick up this game because you could hop in with any of the classes, have all the good times. It's now to the point where whatever gripes people complained about in the first season, they've addressed them. And now, if anything, there are different gripes, but it's not the same gripes that people had before. So you're going to be getting it in a good place where there's just a ton of content and really fleshed out classes. They've just changed so much and added so much within the classes of how you can really customize it and the different builds you can go with. So I would say, yeah, this is an awesome month if you happen to not have, I would say, Jusan and Diablo. Can't really say much about, was it King of Fighters? But I don't know. If it's a good fighting game,
That's
then you
some
got a dope ass fighting game.
post-show reading that we have to do. But
Yeah.
yeah, man, Jusant is a pretty awesome game. I mean, I was immediately captivated by the art style shown off in the reveal trailer, and then the other thing that really caught my attention was it's a climbing game where you're using lines and spikes to make your way up seemingly impossible structures to climb as you're just ascending further and further into the sky looking for your people. It was awesome. I liked the lonely, desolate nature of it, Death Stranding, that post-apocalyptic games. You're starting to see themes and trends here. But yeah, man, I liked what was going on with the game. It was one of the first climbing games I've seen. Since then, we've been blessed with the likes of Cairn and Insurmountable. I haven't played either of them, so I'll keep an eye out. However, Jusant, I can recommend it. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It presents a fair level of challenge to where you're gonna have to lean on the mechanics in order to succeed if you really want to get to the final destination in the game. However, it's somewhat rewarding in that in the way that it tells its story with, people's letters and diaries that they've left behind as the water level just keeps, I believe the water level kept going down. And then eventually just all the water is gone. So you're climbing to the top of this tower where this civilization lived when water was all the way up the tower. And you're kind of seeing the history and the lives of these people played out in reverse as you're moving up the tower. And you're also seeing communications from lower parts of the tower to the upper parts of the tower. It's a very interesting idea. So yeah, I recommend Jusant. However, there are some people who need no recommendation. There are some people who got their own thing.
It's not good enough.
It's never good enough, but they ain't gonna make anything.
Inevitability.
Got troll of the week,
Weak,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week, week,
troll
week,
of the
week,
week.
week, week.
I'm giggling because I'm over here like dancing with a razor blade in my hand. Troll of the week,
Week.
troll of the week.
Got a knife playing with it in between your fingers.
Oh man. Oh, we gotta get the video going. But yeah. So Troll of the Week, dumb and sideways at the PlayStation Plus offerings. I am proud to say, not a lot of trolls.
Oh, okay. People happy about Diablo?
Or
Happy
maybe they're
get a
just getting
Blizzard
tired of
game?
complaining. I don't know. And
Yeah,
maybe they think the war is over, like Sony has
yeah.
capitulated by giving them a bag. Herschel says, I'll pay plus when I see worthy games.
So you don't play online. It's you just pay plus for the games, I guess, is how it works
Yeah.
with some people.
For the you know how people are, where if it's a part of the service, then it's a part of the price.
And also, it's like if you're paying for it, then it's like, oh, I see a good game. Now I'm buying a year's worth of PSN like for one good
And then like if
game.
you're gonna count the games as a part of the price of PS Plus, well then you have to take the market value of the games. And I'm sure a lot of these games are like 10, 20, 30, 40 bucks. And it's like nobody's talking about how much value you get back from the service. Like I'm paying what, 80 bucks a year for plus or something, 36 games a year. I own two of them this month. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, plus sucks. Why don't they give me stuff that I haven't played before? It's like, get out of here with all that. Next troll says, this is awful. Next troll says, absolute trash. Game Pass stomps as usual.
Because they're
They're the exact same thing. They're exact same price. Exact same service. Last troll says, another embarrassing month for PlayStation owners.
I like that there's like nothing specific about like what's ass about this offering. It's just it's
Yep.
all ass. It's just I'm just here
No
to say everything sucks.
specificity this time. There's no woke this, there's no sweet baby that. There's none of the typical hallmarks of like creme de la creme troll. And now this isn't a call to arms. I'm not trying to summon anyone back to their stations. I'm just saying. Yeah, but all in all, I mean, if I didn't own one or both of the games that I'm most interested in for Plus, this is an incredibly solid month. Like I'm working on my second 1,000 hours of Diablo 4. Jusant, I completed and was Very happy for the experience. It was an awesome experience. It was a very interesting and well-told story, awesome art style, some very like striking moments within the game, and that was my first foray into a proper climbing game. So I'd like to thank Don't Nod for that. I've been keeping an eye on them ever since they put out Remember Me, which also they're really good with striking art styles. I don't know for sure how their games come together and as in products, but insofar as what they always show off and their what's becoming their signature style with games, like Don't Nod, you can't really go wrong there. So that's a solid month. And if King of Fighters looks dope, I may add it to the library. Who knows? I might get a hankering for a little rock, paper, scissors, and a little footsie moving back and forth, get up in there. Dude, I think about Injustice 2 all the time, and I'm just like, I just need to bring out the Catwoman one good time. But yeah, man, insofar as these trolls, I don't know what to tell them, man. You guys are running on fumes. You're complaining when you get great games. You're complaining when you get games that you never played before. Just stop complaining. AMC, got anything for them?
I mean, maybe the complaints have gone down because when they're so focused on complaining about $80 games, they can't complain about these PS Plus offerings. So maybe they're no longer, what is it, by looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Biting the hand that feeds them.
Yeah. What is it? Just get the bird and two.
The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Love those sayings.
It's just
Just,
merchant,
yeah.
like.
Well, it's like you're basically screaming into somebody's ear. Just appreciate what you have. Appreciate what you have. And they just don't get it. Oh,
They
man.
never did.
Troll of the
Troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the week. Week,
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 week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week. Where my razor
week.
at? Week, week, week,
You
week. Where my razor at?
got like the razor in your gums, just pulling it out with your tongue
Oh
every now and then.
no, never. I would never dare. I am not that criminal.
Wow, it's pretty impressive. You could talk through an entire podcast with a razor blade in
And these fools, they talk aggressively. Like, yeah, shorty, what it is. Like, excuse me, let me cut this dude up, put the murder weapon back in my mouth. Like, where do you put it after you use it? Do you just toss it?
And like, do you just like accept the fact that it's no longer sterile? Anyways, next topic of the week. Topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
Well, we did have, well, I guess it wasn't really news, but we did have a spotlight, a Capcom spotlight, a dub.
Yeah,
So I
we
figured I
did.
would just run through it as we watched it. There were some questions that came out of it, so I figured I'll hit you with them questions as I run through the game. So I pulled the write-up from IGN. You know them, you love them. But here we go, Capcom Spotlight. So the first game that kicked it off, A-Dub, we got that Pragmata. We got that little girl, little android with the homie. So
Homegirl
we got the
Diana,
breakdown.
I'm ready.
Diana, I am DI9487. Capcom kicked off today's presentation with more Pragmata gameplay footage, revealing a closer look at how players will be able to utilize the powers of an android girl named Diana and a lunar investigator named Hugh Williams as they team up to fight off a variety of dangerous robots. But that is not the most important part of the game, A-Dub. Gameplay involves thinking on your feet and hacking and shooting enemies in an adventure set on a seemingly abandoned lunar research facility. So, Ada, we got to see a little bit more of the gameplay in this game. So, what we saw from before, we knew that you would be hacking, but we didn't know
Yes.
Ada, one of Ada's favorite things in the world, one of the things that you brought up, where are the mini games? And so, what we learned in this
Yes.
one is if you just run in trying to shoot motherfuckers, that shield is just going to absorb all the bullets. So, that's where
Yes.
your girl on your back, your girl, not Diddy, your girl Diana on your back comes in hacking fools. And You run, what we learned is that you got the mini games. So one of the things that A double O, I'm just talk from your standpoint for you. One thing A double O's in a video game is hacking. We had it in Deus Ex. You got those hacking mini games. You got them in all types of sci-fi games. Well, that is how you, the precursor to getting off, firing off them shots and knocking out them numbers. You hack the robot, the armor slowly gets removed, and then that opens it up to lighten them up with the shots. So it kind of creates a sense of tension, because right when the enemy shows up, you go into hacking mode. You're hacking them as you're moving back. They're moving towards you. It's a little bit slow, so it has that feel of like a survival horror as far as slow moving zombie in a sense. But we got androids here, and you're hacking them, removing that defense, and then unloading on them offensively. A dub, what'd you think on this approach to the gameplay for Pragmata?
I feel like when they showed the game back at the summer showcases, like this was the footage that they needed to lead with. Like they gave us a little taste of it toward the end of the re-reveal trailer with the release window of 2026. However, with this, we actually got to like see what the enemies look like. We got to see the effect of the weapon on their armored bodies. We got to see the hacking that you do in real time while the enemy's coming at you. So it's like you don't pause time. You don't have the comfort or the leisure of being able to make decisions and things. You got to get in there. You got to basically know what you're going to expect from that little grid, and you got to navigate your way through it as soon as possible so you can open that enemy up and then start doing the real damage that gets you to progress into the game. So yeah, I finally seen what I need to see from the game. You know, got to see an actual combat encounter, got to see the way that you have to work in tandem with Diana to, you know, not only destroy these enemies, but to open them up to be destroyed. And I think that's a very new and interesting mechanic that I'm very much looking forward to getting my hands on. This Capcom spotlight on Pragmata has officially sold me on the game.
Yeah, I would say that I thought like it was going to be more of a kind of like a character action situation where you're moving quick and comboing them up with your gun maybe. But
I for real saw a Vanquish leaning.
yeah, exactly. So once I saw this where it's like the hacking thing, it feels different enough, and knowing that that's going to be a system within the game that's more than likely going to evolve throughout the game. I am interested to see how that comes to play when it comes to the tougher enemies, maybe tougher puzzles to hack as they throw, as you mentioned, more enemies at you. So now you're maybe needing to do multiple hackings in one moment.
Oh,
It
I
creates a
hope you get the
different,
multi-hack. That would be crazy.
yeah, and so it kind of creates different scenarios that it's just a way of building tension from in a sci-fi perspective that I haven't really seen in an action-oriented game. So I think it's gonna add this feel that is not quite, it's like active turn-based almost. And that's something that's gonna really appeal to me. So for a game that really, like, I was looking from a distance, like, oh, this was kind of cool, but you know, not really my thing. I'm like leaning more towards into it. So this was the trailer that I needed to see for Pragmata to really get my interest as far as a game that I'm gonna pick up down the line.
Hell yeah.
The next thing we saw your boy, the OG from with the OG villain from the original Street Fighter. We learned that he is
Yes. Yeah,
coming to Street Fighter 6 on August 5th, that being your boy Sagat. So the latest post-launch Street Fighter 6 character edition is Sagat. Today's Capcom Spotlight gave viewers a release date for the character, setting a launch for August 5th, 2025. We got a closer look at this updated take on the classic eye patch wearing Street Fighter face with a special video. But that's not the thing I care about here, Adub. This is the more important part. Another highlight. So Street Fighter 6's appearance at the June 2025 Capcom Spotlight included a sneak peek at the new line of outfit for swimsuit updates to drop in a little more than 1 month. Seven new looks were revealed for summer swimwear for Cammy, Luke, Chun-Li, Manon, Jamie, Kimberly, and AKI, Aki, I guess. you can see the concept art and all the images, whatever. But A Dub, I guess my question here is, we got to see this swimsuit line of skins for the Street Fighter 6, and my question is the thirst trap skins, is this the way to bridge the gap with the anti-woke community that has been maybe looking for that? They might complain about microtransactions, but we also know that they like to goon. We see it with Stellar Blade. Is this the move to get people to spend money on video games now? Just thirst trap it up.
Just a brief aside on Stellar Blade. I believe the maker of the game even challenged the modding community to go further with their creations, because he was like, oh, I expected more, something like that. So in that vein, I feel like what Capcom is doing with these swimsuit games is kind of extending an olive branch to the people that they might have turned away after they made their what can I say, their aggressive correction when when the nude Chun-Li mod was on display during that fighter tournament by accident. And, you know, after that, they were like, we do not support this shit. We don't want to see it on our goddamn platforms, motherfucker. And now they're making these barely their swimsuit skins for their female characters. So they're like, okay, this is how much we're okay with showing. And that's all you get, which is actually kind of a lot. Like, it's quite a bit. I was like, there's no way they're making these skins. And sure enough, they're making them skins. So, you know, kind of a mixed message from Capcom, but you know, at the same token, it's like, yeah, they don't want their characters having nude mods, scantily clad, like just skating the line skimpy all day. AMC, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's definitely a trend that we're seeing. You know, there was a period where there was like, hey, we don't want Tracer posing a certain way, like back in 2016. To now, yeah, we're leaning into it. So as you mentioned, we got Stellar Blade, Street Fighter 6 getting these swimsuit skins, and obviously there is, I think part of the major appeal is the Marvel Rivals is like what thick-thighed waifu / Marvel character they're going to add into the game next. And so it there is, you know, they're kind of leaning into it. I think the industry is starting to lean into it a little bit more. I have no issues with it if people, if that's what they want, if that's what gets people to spend money on games is the gooning, then it is what it is. It is what it is. And so
I would like it if they just took take the approach Shift Up did and put forth a good game. And if that stuff's there on top of it, then that's just the way that it is. But if you're trying to gain greater penetration with a mediocre game,
deeper penetration.
Don't do that. if you're trying to gain more market share for a mediocre game by just catering to the goons out there, that's the wrong way to do it. But hey, what do I know? I don't run a multi-billion dollar corporation, so you know, I don't know, man. It's such a touchy subject.
It's just low hanging fruit.
Yeah, low hanging fruit. It's like, it's on the one hand, you do want to have attractive characters, but on the other hand, like, a lot of the way, like these portrayals and the sexualization, a lot of it is just way too over the top. And that's the kind of stuff that people were getting upset about when that was the only representation of women characters in games. And like, thankfully, we went through a pretty lengthy period where we got some nice, like more realistically portrayed women leads. I think that was very helpful, but I don't think the pendulum needs to swing all the way back in the other direction like that. Like, we gotta settle on a middle ground somewhere, but we'll see what happens.
All right, the next game, A-Dub, we got to see a little bit more of Resident Evil 9. A closer look at Resident Evil 9 means more details about protagonist, FBI agent Grace Ashcroft, its gameplay, Raccoon City, and more. Although this was mostly an opportunity for the Capcom team to talk about some information that fans have already been aware of, such as third and first person gameplay, the developers did touch on, oh yeah, Anyways, I'll leave that apart. They touched on Leon, which well, you can talk about that if you care about that. But A Dub, we got to see a little bit of that. I know you're a person that is very fond of third person. We saw a little bit of that third and first person. We see a little bit of the character. What were your overall thoughts on just the overall look of this game and your feel for how the gameplay might be?
Well, the third person being there at launch, of course, that got me in the like, okay, this is the first Resident Evil I've been excited about since I wasn't really excited about four. I kind of saw the writing on the wall on that when they were showing off the gameplay, like, oh, this is not Raccoon City. So, but Resident Evil 9 seems to want to come full circle and come back to Raccoon City. It's visually striking, which is really, carrying the torch for the first person side. And, I've been playing a number of first person games recently, so Resident Evil has a similar or, reasonably different, yet still not the same generic, you're just arms representation. Then I'll be down even more for that. But just those visuals and the perspective that they show is how dark and foreboding everything is. Like the Resident Evil engine is kicking all manner of ass.
That hair lighting.
That hair lighting when she's got the lighter and just like the tips of her hair are illuminated. I love that kind of stuff. I live for those details. So, maybe I'll go back and forth. Who knows? But more than likely, I'll be in third person. The only kind of hang up I have on it is I wish it was a looser camera where I've seen games, I think I want to say like Horizon Zero Dawn and Forbidden West, they had kind of a loose follow camera where it would dynamically shift sides according to where you're moving and your position on the screen. So I would like to see something like that with Resident Evil because it would give you that kind of horror movie kind of chase cam kind of look to it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I haven't really been into Resident Evil since Resident Evil 3, and I didn't even complete that one. I completed the first two like several times each. So, really pumped to finally get back in this franchise, woman lead. So, that's always a bonus. I don't know what to make of their comments that she's going to be a different kind of Resident Evil character. Because all the previous ones were just straight up murderers, and that's what you need in a zombie apocalypse. So I don't know, maybe someone who has some formal training yet is still kind of, green to the game, hasn't really seen combat or field work. Maybe that will bring a fresh perspective and like a fresh feeling to the Resident Evil formula. Either way, I'm very excited. How about yourself, AMC?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really been into Resident Evil. I do like the character design, I'll say, of the protagonist in this game. Was it Grace Ashcroft? Loving that, as you mentioned, the hair, just an interesting character. I like you. I'm curious to see how they plan to work in because you got the Glock, but I want to see how much of the survival elements they lean into and how much you run in this game. But yeah, never really my series. So far we've seen the protagonist, so there is a curiosity if they will have a villain that will be as engaging as the as your girl from Resident Evil 8. Don't remember her name, but I know
Lady
everybody.
Dimitrescu.
Yeah, there we go. And so
And
we'll
speaking
see.
of the villains, have you seen the movie Barbarian?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's a pretty good horror movie. So
Okay.
if you want to make that a date night thing, I would recommend it. It's a pretty good one. And what's going on with Resident Evil 9 is that it has a creature similar to the Nemesis in it that's chasing after Grace, and it apparently it resembles the monster from Barbarian.
Okay. Oh,
So
nice. All right.
you kind of get an idea what's going on if you watch that movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll always be fun. And that's, I feel like the villain is, or the monster or whatever, like the villain that is after you, that typically is a big part of the hype and the lore behind Resident Evil, what people hold on to. And so I think that's going to be a big part of like how people remember this game, I'll say. But the last one that we got, a dub, we're gonna skip over Path of the Goddess, and we'll just jump into Monster Hunter since you got it. Monster Hunter Wilds took up most of the Capcom spotlight today, bringing news about future updates, a roadmap schedule, additional content, and so much more to the table. Here's the important part. Highlights include a gameplay showing underwater fights with Ligiacris, whatever. Treasure trove of quality of life updates, and here's the important thing: even a collaboration with Fender guitars. So, hey, Dub, what did you think when you saw that you could be in Outer Worlds, in Monster Hunter Wilds, rocking out on your guitar, just jamming, fighting underwater?
Not for me in particular. However, I just enjoy seeing where these collaborations are going with video games. I'm one of the people that just fuck it, man, put everything in everything. And I don't have to engage with it. If somebody else is doing that, then that's for themselves and they can have that. But I'd love it in Overwatch where I got my Shigaraki skin on Reaver with my mythic shotguns, just feeling the part. Now, I'm posting 20 plus eliminations a game with Reaper, and I never played with that character before. Does it have anything to do with the skin for the gun and the character? I don't know, but suddenly I want to play more Reaper. Suddenly I'm better at Reaper. So, these things just add that flavor and that extra personalized touch to a game that gets people more immersed and makes them want to spend more time playing this stuff. I'm all for it. As for the update, I stopped playing before the first title update came along. So tomorrow, which is probably like yesterday, if you're listening to this, I don't know how the timing is. But by the time I come back to Monster Hunter, like it's gonna be a completely different game. I can't guarantee I'll even get back to it before the third title update. So we'll just have to see what happens. However, I know it's substantially different. We got new monsters, getting new mechanics. Most interesting of them is the layered weapon system, where if you fully upgrade a weapon, then you can use it as like a lair. And I don't know what that means. So I'm definitely gonna read up on that and get more information. But from what it looks like, it alters the visual of the weapon. And when it comes to a game like Monster Hunter, I'll get my power. Don't you worry about that. All I care about is how I can make my character look while I'm slaying these monsters. So anything that adds, no pun intended, additional layers to the system, then I'm all for that. So we got the layered weapon system. I know we have additional cosmetics that are coming. We got special events that are going to be coming up. And yeah, man, Monster Hunter is looking cool. It's when I stopped playing it, I kind of just stopped playing it because I wanted to play other things. Like there was nothing going on with Monster Hunter that pushed me away from it. So, I have nothing negative to say about it, especially playing on a pro, so I didn't run into the issues people were having on the base PS5 and on the PC version. So, hopefully Capcom gets all that together so everybody can enjoy the game on a similar level of quality and performance. But in the meantime, I'm still going to noodle away at other games. I'm just glad that Monster Hunter continues to get that support, continues to grow and blossom into an even bigger game than it already is. AMC, are you going to pull the trigger on it one of these days? Getting there with me and
Nah.
in single?
There's too much
Get
coming.
your
Plus,
fashion right?
I know they got the festival coming up. It looked like there are people dancing around the campfire.
You
You get
goddamn
the
right.
tents and all that stuff. Nah, this not for me. Plus, I'm kind of holding out my big, I think multiplayer game that I'll likely be getting this year is going to be Borderlands 4. So
Oh, I
kind
thought
of
you were going to get
focusing.
Oh, that's Marathon got delayed. I thought you were going to get Marathon.
Oh yeah, that would
I'll get it. I'll get it if you get
I mean, if I hear
it.
good things, I mean, if we get that three-person squad, we run that extraction, that might be fun, man. Bungie's gonna deliver a good game, so
I think they'll deliver good gameplay.
yeah.
I don't know how the extraction shooter thing is going to translate to the console space. But I mean, we'll see though. I'm gonna remain optimistic because, they look at their body of work. You got everything you need to know about what they're capable of and what they can bring to the table. So I'm not gonna doubt them. I will doubt their bosses, though.
Well, that's all I got for that one. Do you have quick hits? We could come back, take a break.
Yeah, I got. How much time we got? Like
Yeah, we got time.
4 minutes. 4 minutes. Sorry, I could hit you with one or two.
You want to take a quick break and then do those, or you want to just squeeze it in? We can squeeze it in.
Okay, we'll squeeze it
All right, let's do it.
in. Just when you thought you were done with Cyberpunk, well, you're wrong because Cyberpunk is getting a surprise update. Yeah, it was supposed to come out at the end of this month. However, CD Projekt Red said that, it hasn't come along exactly the way they wanted to, so they're going to delay it. Let me see, where is it? We initially hoped to put update 2.3 in your hands on June 26th. However, we'll need some more time to make sure we're happy with it. We're aiming for a scope similar to update 2.2. We'll update you further as soon as we can. We appreciate your patience. If you're into Cyberpunk, if you haven't, and you've been kind of following along vicariously through the adventures of your boy A-Dub and his man AMC, update 2.2, what that brought to the game was the Crystal Coat system that allows you to change the color of your vehicle in real time. It even has utility when evading police detection. And then there was the twin tone system where you could store paint jobs from other cars and use them on your car. It came with a lot of other like Easter eggs, extra events, and things that were secret additions that people are still discovering to this day. So, if you're looking forward to this update as more reason to get back into Cyberpunk, expect a similar scope as to what we got in 2.2 with the enhanced customization options, the additional random encounters, and things of that nature. AMC, you're gonna do it. It was almost complete, but now it's going to be more complete.
I know it's all lining up. I think I even heard there's more edge runners coming. So, and it's just,
Oh, yeah.
yeah. So it's just gonna be all like it's just set up for me to just do it, dive in. It's just a matter of when's the right time. But yeah, I'll be there soon. What else you got?
I can't wait to hear you gush about Cyberpunk, man. I miss that game. I need to play that shit. Randy Pitchford messing up again. Or at least that's what the news says. After reading it, I don't quite know. But headline is Randy Pitchford makes people mad again by warning that Borderlands 4 would take even longer to get deep discounts than Borderlands 3. I had something that actually had the tweet. So in response to a tweet from the Borderlands account that says, "Galaxy ain't gonna loot itself. Pick up Borderlands 3 now, up to 95% off in the Steam summer sale." Randy quote tweets this and says, "Sales like this and Borderlands 3 showing up on a console subscription program took over 5 years from the game's launch to happen. Take advantage when it's here, and to set expectations, it will be even longer before this kind of thing happens in the next cycle with Borderlands 4." So of course, people are taking this as a threat that the price of Borderlands 4 won't be coming down as swiftly as Borderlands 3. It won't be on the service as swiftly. And I think people might be blowing this out of proportion and not taking the wisdom that Mr. Pitchford is trying to lay down on you, which is that Borderlands 3 is 95% off on Steam right now. And it's like sales like this take a long time to come along. So take advantage of them while you can. He's not telling you to worry about Borderlands 4. He's telling you to take advantage of Borderlands 3. AMC, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'll make it real quick because we only have seconds. But people used to always complain about games getting discounted too soon after launch when they bought a game at full price. So he's just letting you know you don't have to worry about that concern. Concern trolls, go kill yourself. Well, that was Control Issues.
Jesus.
I am the AMC.
This is A-Dub. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing, sucker.